Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, close to Branson, Missouri. I'm giving you my testimony this week, and I am tying it into my book, The Blood and the Glory, which was a revelation from God to me for the last days. I want to go through that book with you, and I've been giving you the testimony of God's leading me to Collinsville, Oklahoma, where I received in Tulsa in 1967 during the Charismatic Outpouring. I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit under the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin. In 1970, I went to work for Kenneth E. Hagin, and I became his editor. That meant it was my job. God had said to Kenneth E. Hagin, "You take your teachings and you put them into print, for the printed page is the best way to spread the gospel." So it was my job. He'd been given that path for his life. It was my part of his life to put his teachings into print. Oh, what a blessed job. It was my job every day to go to work. First, it was at 1029 North Utica in Tulsa. And then later on, we moved in 1978, we moved to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. When I first went to work for Brother Hagin, we didn't have Rhema Bible School. It was 1970, and we didn't get Rhema until 1974-75. But I was there in a time when people call the message of faith was just being touched by God. Now think about what Hebrews said. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so God was teaching his children how to please him and work with him by faith for these very last days. And oh, just to think about it, just to think about how God let me work with that man of God and that message that God had given him. Every day I worked with it all the day long. And then I came home and I was a mother to my four children, husband, a wife to my husband, but those were glorious days. And while I was working for Brother Hagin, the Lord said to him, it would behoove you to look up all the scriptures on glory and the glory of God. And he did so. And it changed his life and it changed mine. And that's why my book is called The Blood and the Glory. Now, when I came to work for Brother Hagin, I met amazing people of God. I started off meeting Papa and Mama Goodwin. Oh, my. You've never heard tongues and interpretation unless you heard them. And then others, Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, Sister Clara Grace, Brother Roy Hicks. I could name you one after the other of great saints of God that I got to be around, Brother and Sister Halverson, when I worked for Kenneth E. Hagin. That's where I first met them, most of them. And during that time, I'm going to just read you straight from the book. So if you've got the book, you might want to follow along, The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim, because I want to read it to you and comment on it as we go, because it is a revelation God gave me. And it's a revelation he gave me for the last days. Page 5. The title of this chapter is The Revelation of the Blood and How It Came. I was not looking for a revelation of the blood when it came. I was looking for a manifestation of the glory. For I had been on a more than 20-year-long Holy Spirit-led study of the glory of God. The revelation of God's glory manifested in his body, his church, became the central theme of my ministry and the yearning of my heart. The verse that was a key to all this was Ephesians 5:27. And I came to know that the church, which the Lord Jesus Christ comes to receive unto himself, will not be a downtrodden, backslidden, weakened church, but will be filled with the glory of God. Ephesians 5:27 says that he will present to himself a glorious church. I'd heard faithful men and women of God prophesy about it through those 20 years. Reoccurring themes in the prophecies which so thrilled me spoke of signs and wonders and miracles and even translations. I heard through the lips of more than one proven prophet that even the faces of believers will be so changed they will shine with the glory of God as his presence fills his temple, the temple that we are. Through those 20 years, the Lord called me and caused me to witness prophecy-fulfilling world events. We began to travel and minister in the Soviet Union. That was the Communist Soviet Union in 1980. The ministry has covered the gamut of running from the KGB down dark alleys and across railroad tracks to preaching openly in front of the former National Museum of Atheism after the collapse of communism. In 1986, after my husband moved to heaven, I studied Hebrew in Israel. Since then, I returned to the land, usually twice a year, and I have spent much time there in the unique doors God has opened to watch the fig tree, which is Israel, close at hand. Many of the miraculously returned Jews who are the sign of the soon return of the Lord Jesus are my close friends. For you know Israel is God's time clock. As a student of Bible prophecy, I saw signs in the nations, in the Jews, and in the church that now is the time. It is time for the glory of God to be poured out upon and manifested through the church. And I was watching for that glory. I was so hungry for that glory to manifest. I'd heard those prophets talk about how we would be in healings, in meetings. The glory of God would come in like a cloud. People who had no arms, suddenly arms would go on. Cancer patients would be healed, and suddenly all the hair they had lost would grow back on their heads. Amazing were these prophecies of when the glory would come to the church. And I was watching for it closely. I expected it in our meetings. And even as I was watching for it, I saw something else. I saw what seemed to be an increase in satanic attacks. All were terrible. Some were inexplicable. I saw strife strike between brethren who had preached the same message for years. I saw them break fellowship. I saw homes broken when lives we thought were dedicated to the ministry of the Lord succumb to sin and its consequences. But the inexplicable cases, those you could not explain, especially drew me to seek an answer from God. No place-giving sin was involved. Innocent lives were lost to earth's realm when, in one case, a drunk driver out of nowhere hit a vehicle carrying God's faithful servants. Freak accidents in two cases struck the host ministry's family just before large meetings. One of them was a Brother Copeland's meeting, and Sister Copeland's niece worked for the ministry, and her husband did, and he was in charge of a mission outreaches. You know, they had an office in Australia, office in other places. So it was just before the big Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, and they were taking the Australian KCM staff out for dinner that night, then take them back to the hotel because the meeting was going to start the next day. Well, as they were coming back in a van, a drunk driver out of nowhere hit them and killed Gloria's niece and her unborn baby. And I'm telling you, you know, they went right on with that meeting. And I've seen time after time things like this happen. And they're so strong, and they went on, and they know the word, and they walked in faith and walked in the word. And I saw it happen with other people. And so I was seeking God. I'm looking for the glory, and why am I seeing all this satanic stuff? And I sought the Lord about it, and he answered me with a question. You preach about the last days and the signs of the times, do you not? I didn't know what to answer, really, but I said yes. What did I tell you the devil would do in the last days? I knew where to look. So I turned to Revelation 12:12 and read, "The devil is come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." In my Bible, I had written in the margin that the Greek word translated time is kairos, which means a limited and definite portion of time, a set time. I thought first about the set time of Adam's lease. After God finished his 6-day work week in creation, he handed the authority on earth to Adam. Some Bible scholars believe God gave Adam a corresponding 6-day lease to work upon earth, with 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Of course, we know that's comes from Psalms and Peter, 2 Peter. Adam, however, committed high treason and delivered his authority to Satan. Adam legally, but not morally, sublet his domain to Satan, who became what the Bible calls the god of this world. Luke 4:6, 2 Corinthians 4:4. When the set time of Adam's lease is over, Satan will be evicted and sent to the pit. Satan knows about time. When Jesus was on earth, demons asked him, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Matthew 8:29. The time! I saw it! This has to do with the time. Satan's lease is about up, and he's furiously defying the prophecy of his own doom. Then I heard the Lord say, "Back up a verse." So I read Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." The blood of Jesus, rushing in upon me, came Holy Spirit-guided thoughts concerning the blood of Jesus and the primary weapon it is for the final hour of this age. It came as a revelation to me. We have the book. You can get my book, The Blood and the Glory, from us. Just go online to billybrim.org or call 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying to you today, shalom, shalom. And please join me tomorrow when we're going to be looking into my book of revelation, book of the revelation God gave me of the blood and the glory. And I invite you to join us. It's a special time to me. Shalom.